All right, gentlemen. Now, the last cat we want to talk about is a guy by the name of Jean-Jacques Rousseau. See, I know how to say that in French. What's the other one? But Rousseau, he likes this idea of the social contract theory, right? Like, he's going to come around a little bit after Hobbes and a little bit after Locke. And he's going to put his own little twist on the social contract theory. And he's going to come up with his own cool little concept, something called popular sovereignty. Taylor, are you popular?
At my old school.
At your old school? What does it mean if you're popular at your old school?
I have a lot of friends.
You had a lot of friends. A lot of people liked you. So popular, when you see the word popular, it means people. So people may like you. Sovereignty. That's a tougher one. Sovereignty is the ability to do what you would like. Okay? Now, I'm going to assume that most of you in here have limited sovereignty. You all may want to go out and you may want to stay out till midnight or 2 a.m. and do whatever you want, even on a school night, right? But sometimes mom and dad says, no, sweet dear, and you need to go to beddy bye. Go, here's a cup of hot cocoa, go to bed, right? Well, a glass of warm milk. Who likes a glass of warm milk? Ooh. You don't have to hold it, Sabo. You're good. What's wrong?
I don't know. I find it's like coming a little bit.
Huh?
I find it's like not really good.
You're not recording me, buddy.
No, I am. I am.
No, you're just taking time. You don't have to record me.
Oh.
That's okay. It's all good. Anyway, here's Rousseau's idea. Popular sovereignty. What do we have to do with Taylor being popular? Let's make Taylor popular again. Make it like it's... Where were you popular at? What school?
OLGC.
OLGC. Let's make Taylor popular again. Let's make this OLGC of the North. Lots of people need to like him. Sovereignty, the ability to decide for yourself. Rousseau's going to take these two concepts. Popular sovereignty. People decide. In an absolute monarchy, who decided what was best for the nation? The monarch, the king, right? Absolute monarch. What if the people said, I think you're wrong, king? Off with their head. Very good. I like it, Darren. Well, Rousseau's going to say, hey, government should function for the good of the people. The people should have a say in their government. Remember Hobbes and Locke talked about that? They get together in the social contract. They get together, they give power to the government, then government is responsible to them. Well, government should listen to the people. If the people want something, if they want to bring about a change, then government should be responsive. So it's punching the face of the absolute monarch because instead it's saying we should have a representative government, government that represents the people's thoughts, represents the people's ideas. And when the people want something, if they want a policy, if they want to see a change, then government should be responsive to that. Yes, sir?
So popular sovereignty is just like the people, like the community make all the decisions?
Well, it's the idea that government is going to listen to the people and then is going to respond accordingly, okay? It's the idea that government is going to respond to the needs of the people. If the people want something, the government should be responsive. Makes sense. Again, my two big questions I'm asking you, gentlemen, how are these philosophes challenging absolute monarchies, and how are they expanding the rights of the people? Hopefully you can answer these questions for these various folks. It's like I'm trying to keep hammer this point down so that maybe some of you write something down. Bisdorf still is waiting to write something down. This idea of the general will. The general will is, okay, what does everyone decide? What do the people really want? If we take a poll and we say, okay, where are we going to go to lunch? How many of you want to go to Leo's? Raise your hand. How many of you want to go to Outback Steakhouse? Raise your hand. Okay, the general will. Most people, Biggs may be over there, oh, I don't want to go to Outback. But most people said, we want to go to Outback. So we're going to follow people's will. We're going to go to Outback Steakhouse. And if you don't like it, too bad. Huh?
Who's paying?
Who's paying? It doesn't matter who's paying. Right, if you're paying, you don't want to go. I'll pay, don't worry, it's all good. So Rousseau's going to bring up this idea that government should listen to their people. That people should have a say in their government, and when people want to bring about a change in society, government should listen. Government should be responsive. Last one we're going to talk about, gentlemen. Mary Wollstonecraft. Mary Wollstonecraft was a woman. Have we talked about any women yet? In this whole class, have we really talked a lot about a lot of women? No! Why? Because they haven't had a very large role in society. Women's roles were to stay in the kitchen, to stay out of the way. They were domesticated. It is in the 1700s where we start to see that this idea begins to be challenged and changed. This French woman by the name of Mary Wollstonecraft is going to say to the philosophers, hey, you talk about liberty, you talk about equality, you talk about freedom, you're talking about equal rights. You're not talking about ladies, though. Women. It's all about men-focused, men-centric. So Mary Wollstonecraft is going to be the first woman, the first female philosopher to say, hey, boys, we deserve a part in this, too. We need some time as well. She's going to write a little book called The Vindication of the Rights of Women. And she's going to talk about such themes as equality of the sexes. Meaning that boys and girls, men and women, should be treated equally. Something that was considered ridiculous throughout most of history. And it's still going to be a challenge even during this time. And her biggest thing of how she finds out about equality is education. You see, in the 1700s, the only people that were getting education were boys. Women learned basically everything they needed to do at home, and that was it. Some became nuns, but for the most part, their job was to be domesticated. So Mary Wollstonecraft is going to challenge this idea and is going to stress the importance of education for not only boys but also girls. And that these ideas of the Enlightenment, of liberty and equality and freedom, should be extended to men as well as women. Because up until this point, women were forgotten. And these themes are going to be very important, especially as we move on to the French Revolution in a couple weeks. That gets very exciting. The guillotine comes out. Very, very exciting.